Coming up next on Solidarity Breakfast, we're going to talk to Alex. Here we go. Alex is from the Renters and Housing Union. G'day, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Annie. How are you?
Good. Thanks for getting up in the morning and having a chat. Everything's gone very strange time-wise because of COVID.
That's no problem. I quite like getting up early in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason why we're having a chat with you, Alex, is because the Renters and Housing Union have just put out a report. But before we get on to that report, I'd love you to talk to our listeners about the fantastic work that you guys have been doing. What are you up to?
Sure. So the Renters and Housing Union was formed around 1 year and 6 months ago. It emerged out of the nascent rent strike movement in Victoria. And then since then, we have slowly been building into a union which covers a number of different areas. We have a support work team. We have a renters' rights team. We do advocacy and research, and we do direct action on occasion. And at the moment, we're sort of still growing. We're one of the fastest growing kind of unions in Victoria at the moment. And we've just finally released our sort of 12-month report, which is the first sort of 12 months of our union, covering all the work that we did during that time.
Yeah, and part of that work has been, as you said, advocacy. And being on the Coalface Fellowship, sorry, my lips won't work properly today. I'm a bit sleepy. I was up listening to a webinar, a fascinating webinar at late from Europe, but of course they're on the other side of the world. And it was in the morning for them. But anyway, by the by, because you're on the coalface and you're doing advocacy, you have been able to get an understanding of the effects of the moratorium on evictions and the efforts to stop people being evicted because they can't pay rent and because of economic stress over the COVID period. What have you found?
So the eviction moratorium during last year's COVID lockdown was welcome, but it was not necessarily well designed in a lot of ways. So largely, while people couldn't get evicted, the idea was that landlords and real estate agencies would come to the table to try and negotiate rent reductions for people. In most cases, what we found, people ended up deferring or were told they had a reduction but actually was a deferral. So what that essentially means is there's a whole heap of unmet debt that is still sort of carrying over to this day. Now, so the second lockdown or major lockdown this year, there actually is no eviction moratorium in place. And we can see already a number of evictions that don't follow proper legal process, evictions that are given for no reason. And this is despite a change in rental laws in March, which makes it a little bit harder. But the situation from last year to now is actually very different. It's almost much more bleak for a lot of renters and people in public and community housing.
Yeah, it's fascinating to discover how some real estate agents and landlords seem to be vying for the worst persons in the world. I've met some really unpleasant real estate agents personally, and I'm sure there's some fabulous ones out there. You're reporting people who are being physically mozzed by these people who want them out, even though they've got no right to be pushing them out.
That's correct, yeah. So we have we had 4 cases within the scope of this report where a number of our members had experienced physical or verbal violence from their landlord. In some cases, the landlord or the real estate agent would continually harass renters around repairs or aspects of their tenancy that were not necessarily agreed on. And a lot of the issue stems from I guess a lack of accountability for both of those parties, the landlords and real estate agents. There's very little recourse for punishment for those kind of actions, but also just renters not necessarily knowing their rights, which is a reflection of like the massive power imbalance between people who own housing and people who don't in this country. And we find that is particularly exacerbated for people from migrant backgrounds, to people who are on short-term visas or student visas, which make up a lot of our cases. They'll often have informal tenancies or leases that are just not necessarily in any way accurate or a proper lease.
Yeah, yeah, this sort of manipulation of the system. So, for example, even in the period where there should be no evictions, a moratorium on evictions, except for if the owner wants to move in or there's going to be renovations or they're selling, so, you know. So, of course, that those three things went up astronomically.
Yeah, exactly. And we still find up to now what is happening. One of the biggest issues is, as I said before, that renters don't necessarily know their rights. So to give you an example, recently we had a situation where real estate agencies had just put letters that they'd written underneath the doors of a number of different houses in a particular complex saying, you know, we're selling and we want you to essentially hand in your self-eviction notice. Now, that's not necessarily illegal, but it's incredibly misleading because, you know, they didn't give a particular reason, they didn't specify anything, and at the same time, they're asking a renter to sort of self-evict. And because renters are so used to, in a lot of cases, this incredibly unfair power imbalance, it's sometimes difficult to organize collectively against that. But I guess that's one of the strengths of the union, and for such a young union, we've had a lot of successes in being able to do that and raise collective awareness.
Yeah, it's actually about self-perception, and your union really exposes the deep class issues in this country and the self-awareness of the population. Well, they own the property. They're telling me to leave. I should just pack up my bag and leave. You know, I've got no... I'm just a little person who doesn't own anything, right? These power imbalances that you're talking about are the key, aren't they?
That's right, yeah. And I think... I mean, you know, I don't necessarily think the rental laws in Victoria are fantastic, but they're good in an Australian context. Mm. And what we find is when we support our members to advocate back, particularly around relatively mundane things such as bond claims, you know, often real estate agents will just try and take it. And
they never give it back. They never give it back.
But, you know, we basically have helped our members to sort of argue against that. And what you'll find is a lot of the time you can essentially win. Most bond claims are pretty shit, to be honest. And with a bit of organisation and a little bit of knowledge of your own rights, you can kind of fight back. And you can see that in our report. You know, we've managed to total up, I think it's around $126,000 that we have won back for our members.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, is really impressive, and is really a testament to a lot of our members themselves. So we just kind of give them a bit of a supportive hand around helping them understand what is relatively complex legislation, and then they really just kind of are able to advocate themselves, and that has a really good flow-on effect. Often find that people will join the union on the basis of recommendation of a friend of theirs who's, you know, been supported to get their bond back.
Now this is great stuff, and the landscape at the moment. I mean, this report shows, for example, that 91% of the people that you were talking to, and obviously this is just a straw poll in effect. It's probably right across, and you refer to larger data sets that have come out from other places, that people are under rental stress. I mean, the definition of rental stress is 30% of the income that you've got, but people are paying over 60% of their income and more.
That's correct, yeah. So for us, as you mentioned, for casework, 91% of the people that we supported were in some form of rental stress. And our report draws from a number of different sources. So from our casework data, which is what I've mostly been referring to, also some wider sort of research into the housing market, a survey that we did of our members and wider kind of renters, and an analysis of some VCAT kind of findings around different rental disputes. But as you mentioned, you know, that larger experience of rental stress is something that is forefront in so many people, particularly young people's minds, you know, like that is just the norm. And one of the big things that you know, we want to be able to do is to fight back against rent increases. And we have been able to do that on a lot of occasions. And to always kind of keep the forefront idea of that rental strike in the back of our minds as a leverage tool and a piece of power over, as you mentioned before, like the capital learning class as an example of the class aspects and issues of this issue.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, you know, with COVID, it seems to me that it has exposed the weaknesses of capitalism, to put it bluntly, but also the beating heart of the nasty money-grubbing capitalist is fully exposed, because it's showing that in rural settings over this period, people's rents have gone up by 25%. I mean, yeah. You know, rents are going up even and crushing people.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is exacerbated in rural areas where there's a real lack of supply of housing in the first place. In some cases in the city, you have seen some rents, although real estate agents won't necessarily tell you this, kind of go down in for example, apartments due to lack of international students and other kind of systemic acts. But like, as you say, like in rural areas, the some of the stories that you sort of hear coming out of there, particularly with people who do have the capacity and capital to work home and to move into rural areas, you know, to kind of sort of blows over kind of thing. And what that does to people who live in those areas who are trying to rent is heartbreaking, you know, and it really, as you said, like undermines how grubby the housing market is. You know, the fact that it is even a market is disgusting. And one of the things, the reason that the union wants to fight against.
And I really want to ask you, because we have to finish, I really want to ask you this question around social housing and this Victorian government push for, you know, it's got a plan, it's got a name, you know, they've all got names and it's all very good and all the rest of it. And I've heard various workers in the trades talking about how they're working on social housing projects and they think this is a good thing. But of course, generally speaking, these social housing projects are actually being built on the bones of public housing. What's your union's view on what's going on? Is this a good thing? Is something good happening here?
Well, look, we think that a lot of it, in as you said, is built on the bones of public housing. One of the key recommendations coming out of our report is that we want the Victorian Department of Treasury to commit 85% of that big housing build to new public housing stock. So that's essentially building public housing stock that's controlled by the state government. It's not controlled by social housing private enterprises. In a lot of cases, we know that the social housing providers, the private rental providers, are essentially like fronts for like, you know, developers and things like that are looking to kind of feast on the carcass of very expensive and well maintained kind of public housing. So our position as a union has always been to focus heavily on the construction of new state-controlled public housing, not private sort of social housing-run enterprises.
But you're also pushing for a cap on the rents if people are in social housing.
That's correct, yeah. So we want to have a cap on any social housing rent and also index to wage growth for rental properties in general.
Yeah. Where do people get access to your report?
So you can find us on all sort of social media, on Facebook, Twitter under Rahu, and we also have our website, which is rahu.org.au, and you can download the report there and also a summary if you're interested.
Thanks for talking to me this morning, Alex.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too.